Today's episode is a Q&A session I hosted with Coop Blackson. It was so good and so powerful. I couldn't help but want to share it with you all. So with his permission, we've taken this incredible intensive Q&A session on the power and magic of surrender and turned it into a beautiful podcast episode for you today. I hope you love it. I hope you share it. And I hope you listen to it on repeat. It's that good. So let's dive in. Hey friends, welcome to the Align the Good Life podcast. I'm Brooke Hemingway, and around here, we like to talk about the things that matter, like how to create soul-fulfilling success by aligning your life and taking powerful, intentional action so that you get to experience the best of what life has to offer. From business to health to letting go of limits to raising babies while building dreams to relationships and real talk. We have it all here on Align the Good Life. So let's dive in. All right. Well, welcome today. I'm so excited for us to be able to be together and to have this opportunity to have a Q&A with Coot. Coot, good morning. Welcome. I think you're joining us from California. I'm not sure, but.
Good morning. I'm in Los Angeles. I'm back home.
In Los Angeles. Yes. Awesome.
I just wrapped up a 5-day intensive event teaching, so my voice is a little bit hoarse, but I'm ready to roll.
So were you talking that entire time for 5 days?
Yeah, this it's a 9-month program I do called the Coach Apprentice Program, where people have gone through some of my events. Then I train them for 9 months to sort of be coaches and transformational teachers. And so we have 3 modules. And so the first module is 5 days in LA. And I'm probably teaching for about 80 hours in 5 days. Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. Lisa's face. Lisa's like, probably like, I want to be a part of that. That's amazing.
So forgive me if my voice sounds a bit rough, but I'm here.
We will forgive you. We're so happy you're here. And I'm sure that there are some people here that are curious to hear about that as well. There are coaches and transformational coaches here on this call. And most people were at Align, but some were not. And I have gathered actually some questions that people have already sent in, which I think would be interesting. But do you want to kick us off at all by sharing any kind of message before we head into our Q&As?
Yeah, look, I mean, I think I was also inspired to come on today because the energy in Align was so powerful. You know, what you created, the frequency, the vibration, but also whenever we come together with intention as a community, it creates such a vibe. And I get to speak in a lot of places around the world. And there was an energy in that room. And I mean it so sincerely. There was an energy in that room and a heart in that room and a egolessness in that room and a love in that room that for me was so palpable. So when I get to speak in front of a group, part of, you could say, what I am surfing is the energy of the group. And it was as though the waves that I was surfing were so magical and amazing. It's like, wow, these waves are amazing, that I could feel everyone's heart and intention. And it was so much love and support and healing and positivity and desire to make a difference that I just felt like I was inspired speaking. Because I lost track of time, as you know, and I probably went over my time, and all of a sudden it's like, oh, time's up. And I just couldn't stop because I felt like all of you were giving me so much energy and there was such an openness. Sometimes when I speak, there's a resistance and a closeness that you have to sort of massage and break through. But all of you at Align were just wide open, you know, in terms of the love frequency, the soul frequency that, because I was so inspired, I wanted to come back and give back and see how I could add value, because an hour and a half is such a short time. And I think there was an opening. So I thought if there were any questions, if there were any things that people wanted to ask to go deeper into the practical application of what surrender looks like so that you can not just understand it, but live it in your everyday life, in your relationships, in your career, in your decision-making, in your business, in your health, I wanted to just add value in some way. So as you know, for me, surrender is the most powerful thing that we can do. And I think that we're moving into an age where I believe that surrender is the pathway forward.
Yes, I 100% agree. And I will say that is the energy of Align. It's just this openness. I feel like people come eager to transform and to change their lives. And it was interesting because, yes, you had an hour, but you went an hour and a half, and not a single person complained. And that's how you're in a room where there's this energy. Like, nobody's irritated that we go over. Nobody's like thinking about, dang, my lunch appointment or whatever. They're like, no, just keep going, just keep going. And so what you gave us was so appreciated and so needed. And I shared recently a story of surrender on my social media, and some of you might have seen that I was recently traveling. And this is, thanks so much to your work. And I have to just point back to a lot of what I've learned from you before you even knew who I was, just studying your work and listening to Soul Talk, your podcast, and reading your books, and the magic of surrender being one of those. Was I was in a situation where I didn't have any control in this travel, and where also I had, over the last couple of years, had to release a relationship and just kind of let it go and let things be said and let things happen and let things unfold and not try to control it and not try to manipulate it. And through this experience that happened with the travel, everything came full circle and everything healed. And I was put in a position where I actually had to stay overnight with this person. And it was like the most incredible, amazing, just example of surrender and doing the work that you talk about. Like, I was actually living that last week, Coot, and it was just really, really beautiful. So those of you that are not or have not already studied his work, read his books, listened to his podcast, I want to invite you today to get the books, to subscribe to the podcast, and to listen along. But he truly is here just to serve. And he said, hey, I'd love to come on and do a Q&A. And so, the way that this will work, I think, if you agree, Coot, is I have a couple of questions that people did send in to me. They're probably here. But then also, if there's something you want to ask or something in particular that you are having a really hard time surrendering, you're still in a place of resistance. If you want to raise your hand, there's a little raise your hand, button that you can click here on Zoom. As time allows, we can go ahead and call on you and we can do that sort of live interaction. Does that sound good,
That
Coot?
sounds wonderful. I love the interaction because then it's alive and it's fresh and it's real. And this way I can just make sure I add the direct value to you. So I'm open for whichever way it goes. I'm surrendered.
Good. Awesome. And if this is you, and you sent in this question, if you would raise your hand as well and say, hey, that was me. If you're willing and open to, come on camera and you want to have that dialogue, that would be fantastic. But the first one was at almost 44, I feel like I'm getting to know myself all over again and don't know exactly who I am, to be honest, so that I can share authentically. So I over-perfect my posts and I fear it comes across as fake or insincere. Any advice on taking steps to help overcome this and taking steps to actually figuring out exactly who I am?
Wow, we could go in a lot of directions on that. But what I would say is, I think to truly evolve and grow in terms of the spiritual path, you have to be willing to actually not know who you are. We're taught to know who you are. You have to know who you are. I mean, this is what the self-help books tell us. Know who you are. Know who you are. But I think we have to be willing to actually not know who we are. Because many of us, we've become so sure about who we are. The challenge is who we are is really who we think we are based on our conditioning, based on our childhood, based on our stories, based on our belief systems. You know, when we're born, when we incarnate into this human experience, if you look at a child is just free. They don't know who they are. They haven't been conditioned yet. They'll jump on a table and dance naked. They don't know that they can't dance. They'll run naked. They're like, what do I look like on Instagram? What do people think about me? They have no idea about who they really are. They're just in touch with the boundless nature of their being, and they don't know that they can't sing. They don't know that they can't do mathematics. They don't know that they can't draw. They don't know. And I think it's in that state of not knowing that a child has no fear. I have a little baby boy, he's 9 months old. I wanted to bring him to a line, but we had been traveling for a month before in Brazil, as you know, so we like let the kid rest. But he doesn't know. I mean, he doesn't know that he can't touch that stove, that pick up this pen, and so there's no preconceived ideas based on his conditioning. And so at some point, we were all this free, unconditioned wholeness, this free, unconditioned beingness, boundless, in touch with the infinite, in touch with the divine. We were just whole, perfect, and complete. But the challenge is we incarnate into this human experience and we meet our parents. And God bless our parents. They were just doing the best that they knew how to do based on their conditioning and their parents and their grandparents. And, Lord knows we all have interesting parents. I know I do. And so that's when the conditioning process begins. And so I think the challenge is we lose touch with that fearlessness. We lose touch with that sense of inner freedom because of the conditioning process. The conditioning process starts happening when we incarnate, we meet our parents. Maybe dad is an alcoholic. Maybe mom is crazy. Maybe they're fighting all the time. Maybe there's divorce. Maybe that one of our parents left. Maybe they're great people, but they just didn't know how to meet our emotional needs in some way. And that was painful. So two things happen. The first thing is we learn all sorts of strategies to shut down, disconnect, and not feel the pain of no one is around and my needs not being met. That's too painful. So let me shut down, disconnect, not feel, suppress, 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 suppress. And before you know it, layers and layers and layers of unfelt feeling and unfelt emotion over time, we close our hearts as a way to also not feel the pain and the sensitivity. And now we've sort of disconnected from our true, authentic nature. And mountains of unfelt feeling are sort of buried underneath layers of conditioning. And then we learn a way of being as children. We all do it. I know I've done it. We look around us and we look at our parents and we think, who do I need to be in order to get love and validation and approval from mom, from dad? Oh, when I'm good, dad likes me. When I'm sweet and funny and take care of everyone, mom likes me. And so we develop a role, we develop a mask, we develop a persona, a way of being that we kind of contort ourselves into this version of ourselves based on avoiding pain, avoiding certain painful things, and also becoming who we think we need to be to get love, validation, approval. And so now we've become this version of ourselves that we've contorted ourselves to be that we think that the version of ourselves that we've become is who we are. Like, this is just me. I'm just this way. I'm just this person. I'm just shy. I'm just sweet. I'm just nice. The challenge is the degree to which we are conditioned is the degree to which we're not free. We think we have free will, but we don't. We're being run by the conditioning of our past. And so, based on that fear, we're often afraid to express who we truly are, be who we truly are, speak our true feelings, express on Instagram and to the world our true nature because the fear of, if you know who I really am, you won't love me. And so we then project who we think we need to be. And so does that make sense? And so I think that we have to be willing to question our conditioning, to question who we think we are, to question the version of ourselves that we've become because we've become so identified and conditioned with that version that it then limits the version of ourselves that we become, which is really a conditioned pattern limits the authentic expression of our soul, the authentic limits our voice. So we end up betraying ourselves and lying to ourselves about who we are and what we feel to get you and you and you and the world to love me. And so we live inside of the prison of the personality, the prison of our conditioning. So I think we first have to realize that we're conditioned. Then we have to be willing to question our conditioning. And then I think the possibility to realize, oh, what I'm seeking is love. What I'm seeking is validation. What I'm seeking, not necessarily from the world of Instagram or, people I don't know. What I'm really seeking it is I'm seeking it from my mom. I've been seeking it from my mom, and that's what's running me, or from my parents. That's what's running me. So I think if we're able to do that, then we can begin. For me, the healing process begins when we can start to bring love and compassion. To me, this is healing, bringing love and compassion to those parts of yourself that are hurting. And it's the parts of yourself that are hurting, which we may not be aware of if we've disconnected or we've suppressed it or we're not acknowledging. Are the parts of us that are afraid to fully be seen, the parts of us that are afraid to fully shine our light, the parts of us that are afraid to get rejected because we were rejected back then. And so the ways in which you hold yourself back, it's not bad. In fact, underlying every behavior is really a positive intention. So the part of yourself that's holding yourself back from really sharing fully, it means well. You know, it's well intended. It's self-protection. And so what we tend to do is sometimes we read the books and like express yourself, and then we beat ourselves up for not expressing ourselves. But we have to realize that I think part of surrender isn't force. Part of surrender is embrace. And so if we can embrace, like, wow, I'm not expressing myself fully on social media or authentically in relationships because I'm afraid. I'm afraid of not being loved. I'm afraid of being abandoned. I'm afraid of not being validated. There's some form of self-protection there. When we can identify that, then there's a possibility to hold ourselves, to meet ourselves with loving and compassion. And healing is the application of love to those parts of yourselves that are hurting. And when you can acknowledge it, recognize it, acknowledge it, and bring loving to those parts of yourself, that's when layers can peel away. And that's when true inner authentic healing can happen. Otherwise, we seek that validation outside and we never truly heal. So I think meeting ourselves with love and compassion, because the more we do, the more we heal. The more we heal, the more centered we become. The more centered we become, the less we need that validation from social media and people in our lives. And so I think it's a, my advice would be it's an inner game, and to really do that inner work of the self-loving. Because then when you truly love yourself, you're not seeking it in the world. You're not seeking it from other people in the same way. You're feeding yourself. So then you're not hungry, shall we say. And so I think then you're able to unhook yourself. To me, part of the freedom is the other part, I would say. Does that make sense, folks? So the other part I would say to the question is, when it comes to things like social media and putting yourself out there, whenever you put, you have to also make peace with this fact. Whenever you're up to a big game, is anyone here up to a big game? You feel a desire to make a difference in people's lives on a bigger level than just for yourself, right? Whenever you're up to a big game in life, not everyone's going to like it. Not everyone's going to understand. There will be haters. There will be people that judge you. You will upset people. You will get some, you will face judgment. Because whenever you put yourself out there, it is a vulnerable thing. Whenever you put yourself out there will be folks that judge. It's just part. So if you can just make peace with that, but what you have to realize is that what people and how people perceive you reveals more about them than it does about you. Let me repeat, how people perceive you reveals more about them than it does about you because they don't really know you. People will project onto you and see you based on the level of their own conditioning, their own traumas, their own hurt, their own childhood, their own perspectives, their own paradigms. And so when they see you living your life, when they see you expressing yourself authentically, even if it's coming from a pure place inside of yourself, it might upset them, it might trigger them. And they will project. So you have to make just really make peace with that. Like what they think about you is more about them. It's really none of your business. It's more about them. So if you can just make peace with that, then you can begin to unhook yourself from people's negative opinions. That's one. But then to really be free to lead, free to serve, you also have to unhook yourself from people's positive opinions because they both are a limitation. And when you can unhook yourself from the negative opinions, unhook yourself from the positive opinions, because at the deepest level, you're loving yourself, you're honoring yourself, and you're truly knowing who you really are, not who you think you are, then there's a level of freedom, you know, a true level of freedom. And I think that's the power. And people are always, when you put yourself out there, what I had to realize is when you say something in the world to 100 people, there will be 100 opinions, and that is your reputation. You can't necessarily control your reputation because people will have their judgments and their predispositions. But what you have is your character. And your character is something that you know inside of yourself based on your own inner alignment. And when you're by yourself in the middle of the night, when you're by yourself and no one is around, there's no social media, there's no friends, there's no family. How do you feel about yourself? Do you know that you did your best? Do you know that you are being sincere? Do you know that you are living in integrity? Because if you are living in that integrity with yourself, there's a peace that arises where it matters less and less what people think about you. And so make peace with people will have their opinions, but also make peace with when you're up to a big game in life, not everyone will be happy, even some of those close to you. Not everyone will be happy because sometimes when you really dare to shine your light and you dare to be magnificent, sometimes even your friends might get jealous or they might have judgments because when you really shine your light, it tends to show or reflect to those that are not truly stepping into their highest nature, their biggest expression. It will tend to irritate and aggravate those that aren't, because as you are shining your light, they will have to face the mirror reflection of where they are not. And sometimes people, that makes people uncomfortable. And rather than deal with that themselves, they'll rather judge you, project onto you, or bring you down. And so stay focused on where you're going. Stay focused on your mission. Stay focused on the people you want to impact. Stay focused on those you want to serve. Stay focused on the bigness of what God has called you to do. Because I think if you're so focused on the purpose and the mission and the calling that you've been given, you will also have less time, or I'll put it this way, you won't have time for the smallness of people's judgments and opinions and whatever they say on social media or in life, because your vision will require so much of you. You just won't have time to think about the BS and what people think, because the mission will take everything you've got to fulfill. So those are just a few thoughts.
So good. And I don't know, Lisa, if you're on here live. Lisa, are you here?
Lisa, I see Lisa.
Yes, I'm here.
Lisa, are you gonna hate me for calling on you?
I
I could never hate you. Ever.
Lisa and I were just having this conversation because she's just experienced putting herself out there. She has an incredible story of losing 200 pounds through getting her health back together, and she started to share her story. And how do you, like, where you're at, Lisa, for example, is putting it out there and then getting hatred back. Can you share a little bit about that story, and maybe Coot can help you with a few tools of how to get past that?
Yeah, absolutely. So in building, my coaching business and where I really want to be, it's really focused on women who were in my shoes before and have some weight to lose, and in trying to be relatable and tell my story and really connect with people, I put out basically like a before and after photo. And I posted it really fast, and then I didn't look at my phone because I was scared of the comments. And when I finally did look at my phone, I mean, it was very mixed. There were some great comments from friends and, people that support me, but then there were comments that were just like, I mean, just tore me right apart. Like, people saying like, even though you lost 200 pounds, you're still fat, you still don't look good, you still, shouldn't be posting pictures like this. This is disgusting on the internet. And it just, I'm like, how do I do this, and how do I overcome this? Because it's so hard to hear those things when I know inside what it took to get here.
It's hard.
It is.
I think first you have to make peace with this hard. And I feel for you for having to go through that, because I can tell that you're just coming from such a sincere place. As I feel your heart and feel you, it's just a sincere impulse to share and inspire. And it's like, this is the shit I get back. It's hard. And you're human, and it's painful. And I remember when I first started, there were moments I faced hate, so to speak, and I cried because it is, you're just human. You're a human being just trying to inspire people, and then people are saying this stuff. And so grieve it, feel it, honor it, love yourself through it. And love that love that part of yourself that's feeling that pain, that sensitivity, that little girl, that teenager. Love all those parts of yourself and let her know, hey, I love you, despite what these people are saying. They don't know you. I love you, you know, teenage Lisa. I love you, 10-year-old Lisa. I love, like, just, it's kind of like it forces you to love yourself so much more. And the haters, in some way, are angels in disguise that are actually your love, self-love teachers that force you to go inside and hold all ages and stages of your own being with so much love. It's like, I love you, despite what they're saying. I love you. She doesn't know you. I know who you are. I know what your intention is. Does that make sense? And so it's almost as though without doing that, it's harder. And so hold yourself with that tenderness, you know. It forces you to become even more committed to loving yourself, committed to your self-care, committed to that self-honoring. And that is part of what will heal within you the layers, you know, whatever layers that you carry of your own self-rejection. See, when someone says something, what I had to realize for myself is when someone says something and it really res it and it hurts, I had to also look at where inside of me is what they're saying still resonating? Or where inside of me is what they're saying, am I not fully at peace with yet? Where inside of me have I not healed what they're saying yet? Someone says, "Cool, you're out of integrity." I'm like, "Well, fuck you, screw you, I hate you." It's like, "Oh, where inside of me am I out of integrity? Where inside of me am I not peace at peace with that within myself yet?" And so you also get to then look at that. Doesn't mean what they're saying is right, but it becomes a, shall we say, everything is a spiritual path, and so it becomes a spiritual practice, and they're kind of showing you where inside of me do I still believe what they're saying? Where inside of me have I not made peace with that within myself? Where inside of me am I still not loving myself to the point where I know that what they're saying is really not based on any fact? You know, because when you then heal that and free yourself of that, then there does come a point when what they say has less and less and less and less impact on you. You know, like if someone were to just say to me, "Cool, you don't care, you just care about money," I kind of laugh because I know, you know, how absolutely absurd and opposite that is. But if I wasn't at peace with that and that was the truth, it would activate me, you know. And so you get to really use that as a spiritual kind of yoga, spiritual meditation, a spiritual healing practice to say, ah, where does that resonate, and bring loving to those parts of yourselves? And so as you do, it frees you. As it frees you, you have more peace within yourself. As you have more peace within yourself, you get less impacted. As you also get less impacted, you're able to put more out there to the world, because you're not as triggerable. Does that make sense? And then the cycle keeps expanding. And so in that sense, we bless them. You know, they're giving you gifts in disguise that they don't even know they're giving you. And if you can take the gifts, unwrap, sometimes the gifts come a bit gift wrapped, but if you can unwrap the gifts, then you'll actually heal and evolve even more. But yes, I would love to say what I look, I've been doing this for 20 years. I started off coaching one-on-one, then it evolved into seminars and speaking, and then over the last years on a bigger level, my books and speaking again. I still get it. You know, I put a video out there, people have opinions. I'm like, wow, I didn't mean that. I just put it out there in this way. And so that's why I said people can only see you through their own lens of conditioning. And you start learning truly that it's not personal. When I really began to commit to my purpose and put myself out there, I lost so many friends. People that I thought were my friends, because they could not stand seeing how someone, in this case me, was following my purpose so committedly, because it forced them to see where they were not. So know that when you put yourself out there, it will force people to see the parts of themselves that they have been denying, the parts of themselves that they are afraid of that you represent, the parts of themselves that they don't want to take responsibility for to get healthy. And rather than take responsibility for, they would rather bring you down. So now they don't have to do it themselves, right? And so when you really get that, you realize, okay, it's not me. And you let that part of you know in your own healing process. Hey, little Lisa, it's not you. I got you. We can hear it. I got you. And that's where healing happens. But look, they killed Gandhi. folks, they killed Jesus, and we're all still alive, so we have a long way to go in a certain sense. Martin Luther King, they killed him. And so I would love to say, hey, you put yourself out there and the world loves you. It's not always the case. But I think when we become more committed to saying, okay, God, divine intelligence, whatever you believe, I'm ready to be used. And you stay focused. I have had to, that's why I said earlier, I have had to stay so focused on the purpose and the assignment I've been given that when people sort of say things, I just haven't had as much time for it, And so, anyway, in the meanwhile,
Yeah.
on the human level, you love those parts of yourself.
Yeah. So
Thank
beautiful.
you.
Who felt
Thank you.
that? Yeah. Who felt that in the chat? That applies to all of us. Even if it's been a different situation, we all will have people say hurtful things as we're moving forward in our purpose. And, somebody asked this question. And if this is you, if you would raise your hand, because I would love for you to have an opportunity to also just interact back and forth with Coot. But the question was simple, and I think this is actually something that a lot of people struggle with. And it was, how do you continually trust in what you feel called to do when it seems like door after door after door is closing to get there? So, like, you really, really have this feeling inside of you, and you feel this calling on what you're supposed to do or what you're supposed to create, but it just seems like every door is closing and things aren't going the way that you think that they're supposed to be going. If you're here on the call and you sent in that question, if you could unmute yourself and let us know who you are, that would be incredible.
I forget if I did. I may have shared a bit about sometimes why things don't manifest at a line. I don't know if I did or not, because it touches into some of that, and then there's more I want to add. And
Yeah.
yeah, it's definitely not easy when you feel this calling, and you sense it, and you feel it, and you do take action, and door after door seems to close, door after door doesn't seem to open. In kind of a minute or less synopsis, I think what I have observed in my life is there's a few reasons why things don't manifest. It's number one, the vision that you have or the dream that you think you have, because sometimes the goals that we want are just what we think we want based on who we are, think we are, which is our conditioning. And so we're also sometimes not always seeing clearly, like we really want this thing, but it's driven by insecurity or childhood wounds or inadequacy, and we're not able to see clearly. But it's still, and so one of the reasons why things tend to not manifest is what we think we want is just what we think we want. It's not necessarily truly aligned. And I found that when that is the case, it doesn't always happen, doesn't always unfold, at least certainly not in the way we think. And so I think what we need to do is step back and reevaluate. Sometimes it's just timing. Sometimes it's just not time yet. It's not ripe yet. It's not the season of life yet. The collective consciousness hasn't ripened yet, and maybe the season is being prepared. Sometimes I think many times it's the third thing that we have not necessarily learned the lessons on a soul level where we are with who we're with at this particular moment of our lives. Like the way I see it is we're souls, and we're souls that we incarnate into this human experience. And as we incarnate into this human experience, life is like a university for our soul's evolution. Every person, every situation is a learning opportunity for our soul's growth, an opportunity to express who we really are, an opportunity to remember who we really are, an opportunity to realize who we really are as infinite beings, as spiritual beings, as souls. And so I think when we don't learn the lessons where we are with who we're with, that kind of also keeps things blocked and keeps us stuck in repetitive cycles over and over and over again. All lessons get repeated until learned, you know. And so when doors don't open, it is not easy. So I think we have to step back. And the other thing I would say is, for me, the real reason for a goal and a vision is not necessarily the fulfillment of the goal or a vision. And so I tell people, don't get attached to the goal or the vision. So people say, well, just surrender. And that means do what? Does that mean you don't have a goal? No, you can have a goal. Get in touch with what is most authentic or the most authentic vision in this moment, but just don't get attached to the goal. Because for me, the real purpose of the goal is not the goal. The real purpose of the goal is the evolutionary process and journey that the goal takes you on. So as you start pursuing the goal, you start knocking on doors, you start knocking on doors, you start knocking on doors. As you start pursuing the goal, it will take you on a journey. It will take you on a journey of having to learn, having to grow, having to evolve. It will take you on a journey of having to explore, having to face the internal subconscious blocks inside of yourself, your inner belief systems and limitations, your internal, the traumas that block you, the fears and the layers of conditioning. So to get from here to here, you will often have to face those internal blocks to the manifestation of that goal. And that journey of having to pursue the goal and face those inner fears and beliefs along the way so that you can become more truly from your own healing process and evolve into that next version of yourself. That is the real goal. You know, I think in our culture, we tend to determine success based on what I call the goal line. The goal line is the realm of what you can see, success, achievement, relationship, money, bank account, fulfillment of the goal, like the door, like you got to the door and the door opened. But what about the journey to the door? Because sometimes there's an entire journey to the door that is where 90% or 80 to 90% of the process of life is the walking to the door. And so for me, that is the soul line. There's the goal line and there's the soul line. Does that make sense? And I think the soul line are really the, if there's the goal line, if I had a piece of paper, I'd write goal line and soul line. And the soul line is where the lessons are. So the pursuit of the goal puts you on the soul line where you have to face things within yourself to love yourself more, to be more compassionate with yourself, to honor yourself, to set your boundaries, to let go of fears and generational patterns and conditioning. And so I think in our culture, we tend to determine success based on whether you achieved it or not, which is one dimensional. But we tend not to see and take into account, who am I becoming in the process? Am I evolving in the process? Am I becoming more authentic in the process of the pursuit of my goal? Am I learning lessons? Am I expanding? And I think so long as you are evolving, growing, expanding, learning, healing, transforming, shifting, and you can say, yes, I evolved and I learned. Maybe I didn't achieve the goal, but I learned. Then I would say you are a success. For me, that's real success. Because at the end of the day, when you die, you don't take anything that you achieve with you. The only thing that you end up taking with you is the evolution of your consciousness. The only thing that you end up taking with you is who you became in the process. And so I think when we're more focused on, it's a strange thing. When we're more focused on the internal soul line and the lessons, we evolve more quickly and we shift patterns. We shift destiny. We shift karma. We shift generations more quickly. And as we shift those things more quickly, in a strange way, it's the key to unlock the lock to the next level of our goals anyway, you know? And so I think I would say don't be attached to the goals. Be attached to the evolution and be attached to the learning. And if you truly, in your heart, after all of that, feel like, but I feel this, I feel this, I feel this, then you keep putting one step in front of the next. and one step in front of the next, because the vision that you've been given, if it's authentic, it doesn't belong to you. It belongs to life. It belongs to the universe. And I really believe if it's an authentic vision, life will fulfill it. Life will reveal it. The universe will reveal itself through you and unfold the vision so long as you show up and you're available and you're open. There's nothing that will stop it. In a sense, you can't screw up God's plan for your life and unfolding. You're just not that powerful. So you just keep showing up and trust divine timing. I remember about 21 years ago, before I really started coaching and I really started down this path of personal growth and personal development, I wanted to be the next Oprah. I wanted to have a talk show and take spirituality. This is before social media was popular. And I tried everything. When I say everything, I felt it so strongly in my heart. I found all the top agents. I didn't know them. I tracked down Steven Spielberg in a park. I tracked down Richard Branson. I tracked down everyone. I pitched everyone. I didn't just knock on doors. I broke doors down, and it didn't happen, and it didn't happen, and it didn't happen. I was like, God, why? I feel like I've been given this vision. And finally, I remember in the very final moments, I met these managers. And these managers represented at the time Leonardo DiCaprio, Michael Jackson, Mariah Carey, Dolly Parton, J Lo, some Backstreet Boys. And I spoke to these managers. And they're the first ones that said, yes, we see your vision. We're going to make you a star. We're going to get you a show. Here's a contract. Bring it back tomorrow. I was so excited. And I went home and I meditated on it. And the weirdest thing happened. Everything in my body, after all of that, everything in my body said no. The hell do you mean? Like everything inside of me said no. And personally, on a human level, I felt devastated. I felt upset. But I just knew that this inner guidance, this internal knowing is never really wrong. And I've listened to it and it guided me. And now it's telling me no, even though I'm being presented with an opportunity that represents everything that I want and the door is finally open. You could say, I closed the door myself. And that, in a strange way, took me down a really profound spiritual path where I finally just gave up. That's the moment where I finally surrendered. And I said, I don't know. I don't know what you want from me, God. I don't know. I thought I knew, but I don't know. And that's when I really surrendered and I ended up walking the Camino. I ended up going to India, having some spiritual experiences. And it was on that, in that sort of 6 month process and period of time that my life changed. And I would say the true bigger vision of my life than I was able to see up until then was able to be revealed as I let go. I wasn't able to see the true purpose for why I was born. I was only able to see the purpose of why I thought I was born, which was to be the next Oprah and have the show. But then in that letting go, the real vision revealed itself. And so I say sometimes not getting what you want is grace. It's a blessing that you may not always be able to see in the moment. So when things don't manifest, what we tend to do is get upset or judge or collapse or contract or, feel disappointed. I will say when things don't manifest, step back, observe, try to not impose a meaning as to what that means. It means this, it means that, it means it's not going to happen, it means that. Just step back and just observe. What I have found is when you don't project, because often the meaning we project onto the thing not happening will be limited because from the ego perspective, we're only able to see a very small piece of the pie, a very small piece of the totality of the unfolding of life. So step back and just observe. And then you can allow life in its infinite intelligence. You allow life to show you. You allow life to reveal itself to you. And what I have found over the last 20 some years is life will reveal itself to you. Life will reveal what it's seeking to do. Life will reveal what the true essence and meaning of the situation is. And so I think to myself, wow, had I forced and gotten the show and opened that door, I probably would not have been doing what I've been doing now. I probably would not have gone on the journey to have developed the internal evolution within myself to be able to be serving people and transforming people at the depths that I've been doing over the last, 10, 15, 20 years. And so sometimes things not manifesting is really a blessing. But if we can step back and just be curious, like, okay, what could this mean? Like, okay, it's not happening, but what could this mean? Okay, it's not manifesting. What more amazing thing is seeking to happen than I am currently able to see with the limitation of my ego mind right now? I'm open. Universe, show me. I'm open. So you keep showing up in that openness and step back. And meanwhile, also, you're doing your inner work. You're doing your inner healing. You're learning the lessons where you are with who you're with in that particular moment, because that is the key that unlocks the lock to the next level at the same time.
It's so much about trust and just kind of just falling back into a space of not having to know everything, not having to know, because that's, I think, human nature is we want to know exactly how it's going to work out, exactly how it's going to play out. But yet at the same time, we also want adventure. We have these two pieces of us, the piece that wants security and safety, and then the piece that wants adventure.
But
And
I would say, the thing is, I think to myself, if we really knew exactly how it was going to work out, and sometimes what we would have to go through to have it work out, many of us would not have even have started. Like
I
this,
wouldn't have six kids.
you like I, there's things I would not have gone down certain paths had I knew how it was going to be. I'm like, that's too hard. That's too difficult. That's too much. I can't do that. I there's no way I can climb that mountain. And I think because of that, the universe shows us, reveals to us on a need to know basis what we need to know. Because if we knew the total unfolding, many of us wouldn't even climb that mountain. We would just determine, predetermine that it's too difficult. But all of a sudden, you climb that step, and then, okay, go another step, go another step, go another step, go another step, go. And before you know it, you're at the top of the mountain. But had we known that that's the mountain we were going to climb, we wouldn't even start. And so,
We'd
yes,
say no
trust.
thanks. We'd say no thanks. I'm happy where I am. I'm comfortable where I am. We call this bushwhacking on Kauai. If anyone's been to Kauai, all the trails overgrow like crazy. That's where, all of my kids were born and raised. And when you go hiking there, you just have to trust the trail because you literally are bushwhacking through the jungle to hike, in Kauai. This was so beautiful. There was a comment that was sent to me, a message that was sent to me, and I'm going to share this anonymously, but I do believe that this will serve everyone here. And it was somebody that was at a line and is feeling, a lot of emotions. And she noticed that at a line, as she came face to face with some of the things that she was experiencing and maybe needing to surrender, that she was feeling like a child wanting to hide behind her mama. And she can't figure out why she wants to do that. And I am just curious, by show here in the chat, how many of you guys have come face to face with things that you need to change or surrender or truths? And it makes you want to hide, whether that's like hiding in the corner or hiding behind your mom or hiding behind food or hiding behind anything. Does this resonate with you guys here? Oh, yes. So when she sent this message privately, I thought, I completely resonate with this because when you do come face to face with some truth, there is then this desire to sort of run away and hide. And how do we pull ourselves from that place? Where to begin? Elise says, oof.
Oof, I see that. I think it's a natural process, because the process of letting go is a bit scary. The process of surrendering is, or at least can feel, quite scary, because we've learned how to manage our lives. We've learned how to protect ourselves. We've learned how to do this thing called me. We've learned how to get love, validation, and approval through all these strategies. The challenge is often the way that we learned to manage our emotions and manage our feelings through suppressing, through closing our hearts, through disconnecting, through going into our minds, or the way we learned how to function and survive, which is survival, to get love, validation, and approval through disconnecting from a part of ourselves, through not honoring our voice, through betraying ourselves in some way, by not allowing ourselves to be seen. It may have worked for us when we were five, or may have worked for us when we were 10, may have worked for us when we were 15. But often, as we hit 20, 25, 30, 35, 40, as we become adults, it starts limiting us. And so it's a bit scary to let go. It is scary to think about letting go of who I think I am and who I know myself to be, because that the fear is, if I really let go of this way of being, then I might get hurt, or I might have to experience certain feelings that I experienced back then, which is why we created a way of being to often learn how to avoid that, to not feel that ever again. And so that's why, for the ego, our perceived sense of self, surrender can feel scary, you know? And so I think we have to honor the feeling. Like, yeah, if we're truly letting go and truly coming face to face with the reality of surrendering, big or small, we're going to have to face those feelings. The fear that's underneath the mechanism of what we're letting go, the fear that's underneath the pattern of and the way we've learned to control life. So if you talk about let go of control, oh shit, yeah, it's a little scary, and I want to run and hide, because we learn to control everything. We learn to fix the family and mom and dad, and now fix everyone in order to feel stable. And now you're telling me, let go of that, then maybe everything's going to be chaos. And I don't. And so then we want to run and hide, because that's how we felt back then. So we all learned certain ways of beings and strategies to navigate life that often helped us become successful. We became independent. We became the fixer. We became the know-it-all. We became the responsible one, the over-responsible one, the caretaker of everyone, to just like not feel those feelings down there. And so now our entire life unconsciously is a strategy to sort of manage and not feel those feelings down there. The only challenge is now we don't feel alive because we're disconnecting from ourselves. Now we're not able to truly be who we are and express my voice, because if I do express who I really am, you might not love me anymore. And so the thought of letting go, it's scary, you know. And I think that's a sign that you're actually on the path and in the process of letting go, like truly, truly letting go. I had a client, and I'll share what people can do. I had a client many, many years ago. When I used to do these things in India, these India journeys, he came to India with me. And I'll never forget, he came to me, referred by his wife. His wife was very outgoing, shall we say. His wife was not like social butterfly, outgoing, and he was the quiet one, the shy one. And he came to me and said, "Kud, I'm very shy and I'm very quiet. And I like being behind the scenes, but I really want to be successful, and I really want to put myself out there, but I'm afraid because I'm just a shy person." And I realized that I told him, "This is a lie that you've been telling yourself." Like, he had this identity of I'm just shy, and I just like being behind the scenes. So he married a woman that she did all the talking, so he never had to like ever be seen, and it was comfortable for him. But he now realized this was becoming a limitation, and something in his being was not feeling congruent anymore. And so I'll never forget, as I started working with him for the month, we spent 2 weeks in India, I asked him some questions, and we took him through a bit of a process. When we got to India, he said, "Could I have not stopped crying for 2 days?" And I asked him why. And he said, "Because I realized, based on some of the things you asked me and some of the things we talked about, I realized some things about my life." He said, "I realized that when I was 5 years old," this was a 55-year-old man, he said, "I haven't cried since I was five." He said, "When I was 5 years old, I now understand, I'm now remembering that some things happened that shouldn't have happened." And he told me that he was molested by his uncle. And he said, "Could I actually did not remember that I was molested by my uncle until just like now. I kind of blocked it, I suppressed it, and I blocked it out of my memory so deeply that I forgot about it." And he said, I saw an unfolding of my life and my conditioning. And I didn't realize that there was so much grief and pain that I had been carrying for 50 years of my life and suppressing for 50 years of my life." And what we unfolded and what he realized was when he was five, he was free. You know, as 5-year-olds, we're free. He was alive. He was bright. He was shining. He was magnificent. And then this thing that happened to him that should not have happened, to be fair, of course, should not have happened, was not okay. The innocence was taken. In that moment, unconsciously, he made up, this 5-year-old boy made up, "It's not safe to be seen. When I'm seen, when I'm bright, when I'm loud, when I'm shining, bad things happen to me. So it's not safe to be seen." So unconsciously, he created a survival mechanism of like, if I hide and if you can't see me, then you can't hurt me. And so what that created was a way of being where he became quiet, became shy, started to retreat, started to be behind the scenes, married a woman who she did all the talking and he didn't have to be seen. So his entire life became created around this identity and this survival strategy that he was not even aware of. And so many times when we talk about letting go, it is a bit scary because now we have to face some of the feelings of, oh, when my needs weren't met, I felt helpless and that felt out of control. Don't want to feel that. Let me just become independent. I don't need anyone. I'll just do it myself. Now I don't have to feel that. And if I go through my whole life like I'm independent, I don't need anyone, I'll just do it myself, then I never have to feel the feeling of not having my needs met and how painful that was. But it also, in doing that, you have to kind of close your heart to not let people in so that you don't have to risk the feeling of being let down again. And so to really surrender does require, there is a vulnerability there, and does require that you honor and allow yourself to feel what has been suppressed, to feel what has been pressed down, to feel what you've been avoiding. And so in the process of surrender, there is a grieving, there is a natural grieving and feeling, because surrender is a death, and surrender requires a letting go of the mechanism, the identity, the survival strategy, the role that we have all learned to adopt in order to function and survive and to get love and validation and not get hurt. And so if we're willing to hold ourselves through that process and not, because when it gets scary, what we tend to do is we tend to run. It's easier to just like distract myself. It's even easier just to motivate myself to stay motivated so I don't have to feel that. But if we're going to truly heal, we have to be willing to touch into those feelings and allow ourselves to hold ourselves through those feelings. And that might mean a willingness to acknowledge the pain of not having those needs met and the sadness that we've been not fully touching into. It might require us to really feel the hurt that we've learned to suppress, that we spend our whole life avoiding by saying yes to everyone, or the fear that we're carrying, that we're avoiding by being nice to everyone, even though we don't feel like it, which means we betray ourselves. So if we're willing to just acknowledge those feelings and feel those feelings and grieve those feelings, and because all feelings remain present until we feel them fully. And so part of surrender is an acknowledgement of those feelings, not to stay stuck there, not to wallow in them, but to feel them so that we can honor them, so that we can release them, so that we can love out to bring healing and love ourselves through them, so that we can truly let go. And that's why I say there is no true surrender, like true surrender without grieving. There is no true authentic surrender without the process of grieving, which requires feeling and allowing certain things to die. And sometimes you can only allow certain things to die and to be released and to be let go of when you're willing to acknowledge the feeling and feel it so that you can truly release it, you know?
Ooh, I see a lot of tears.
Yeah.
I was getting a little teary-eyed too.
So surrender is a tender process. It's a tender process. So just I would say, okay, the other thing I'll just say that might help people is sometimes we think that we're feeling. No, could I felt the grief, I felt that, and just fill in the blank. I felt it, but it's still here. The challenge is sometimes we think that we're feeling it, but we don't realize that we're thinking about the feeling rather than truly being with it fully. And so by feeling it, I would say it's really about you acknowledge the feeling that you've been avoiding. You acknowledge it as a sensation in your body. Sometimes we label it pain, sadness, grief, and we stay in our mind thinking about it versus just allowing oneself to experience the sensation of that grief, of that sadness in your body. And when you allow yourself to feel it without trying to analyze it, meditate it away, spiritualize it away, drink it away, work it away, but just let me feel it fully. Every feeling has a natural cycle. No feeling lasts forever. And when we're able to just feel it fully in the way I'm speaking about, without thinking, just through direct experience, you will see that the layer of that feeling begins to dissolve. And then there's more space. And then there's more space. And so it requires courage, you know, it requires courage. But I would say not dealing with those things, which is what we've tend to do by distracting ourselves. What we tend to do is not deal with it. At some point, you will have to deal with it. You'll have to deal with it in how you feel in your body, manifesting as some pain or physical pain, or you have to deal with it in how you feel within yourself, because if you suppress the pain on the flip side, you'll also suppress the joy and you won't be able to feel the joy as fully. And when we suppress feelings for such a long time, eventually it leads to a certain numbness or a certain depression, a certain lack of vitality and aliveness, you know. And so either you deal with it or you deal with it, but you'll have to deal with it in some way.
You can't escape it. This is
Yes.
a purpose of life,
Yes.
I believe. And I know for decades of my life, that's exactly what my life was. For those of you that have followed me for a long time, was depression and anxiety. The girl you see hitting the drumsticks on the stage and feeling alive. That was not me before, because there was so much that I had suppressed in trying to make everyone happy and everything be perfect and try to control everything. And so I think that's this has spoken so deeply to everyone here today. And I know that we could keep going and going, but I also know we've already come to an hour. And one of the questions I did see in here that
Yes.
was sent to me was like, where do I even start? I know, for example, number one, if you don't have his book, obviously his book is a great guide, his podcast, Soul Talk. But are there other ways or other things that people could tap into to connect with you, your teachings, seminars, experiences, etc.?
Yeah, before I share that, I just maybe st still to answer your question, like where do I start? You know, And I forget what I, to be honest, I forget what I shared at Align because I was in a zone. I forget what I said, to be honest. I said something about surrender, but apart from that, I really don't remember. But for those that were there or weren't there, I think where we can all start is with the truth. And it sounds simple, you know, but if we're willing just to start with the truth, to say, you know what? I am hurting. You know what? This backache that I constantly have. Let me acknowledge it. You know what? I'm not happy. You know what? I'm not happy. I hate my job. You know what? I have a bit of an issue with alcohol. You know, no judgment, right? No judgment, no shame, no nothing. Just the pure observation and the willingness to just start with the truth. This is where I'm at. And I think if we can start there, right, that begins to free us up. The second thing, so the truth, just starting with the truth and taking the pressure off of yourself from having to take any action. You don't have to leave the relationship. You don't have to do anything drastic, but just acknowledge the truth because that begins the process inside. I'm not happy at work. Okay, start feeling that. The other thing I would say that might help people, this is kind of a homework, but if you set your goals and you say you want, let's pick a tangible example. You say you want a relationship. You say you want to manifest a soulmate, or you say you want money, but you don't have it. And you try and you try and you try and you try and you try. And you be like, I want it, I want it, I want it. Here's what I would take, and this is what I tell my clients sometimes. If you say you want it and you don't have it, there usually is a deeper reason as to why you don't have it. So rather than convincing yourself that you want it, actually, what I want you to do is have a con honest truth confession with yourself to acknowledge, why do I actually not want what I say I want? It's absurd. Yeah. Why do I actually not want the relationship? But I want it, but you don't have it. And you've wanted it for 5 years and 10 years, and you're doing all the seminars to get it, but deep, you still don't have that healthy relationship. Rather than saying you do, actually confess, why do I not want what I say I want? And if you can just bring to conscious awareness an honest confession of why, maybe it will be a fear of losing my freedom. Or maybe you'll start noticing, you know what? Every time I get into a relationship with a guy who I love, I lose myself and I give myself away. So maybe subconsciously, there might be some sort of protection mechanism inside of you that's like, I want a relationship. I'm going on the dating apps. I tell my friends, but it's not showing up because maybe subconsciously, there's an internal subtle protection mechanism inside you that is afraid that you're not acknowledging, is afraid that, oh, shoot, if I get into a relationship, that might mean I lose myself and there's an internal conflict. So many times there is a subconscious internal conflict or a payoff for why we don't want what we say we want, which is repelling it, which is pushing it away that we often don't acknowledge. No, I want a man. I want a wife. I want a relationship, but it doesn't show. I want money. I want to be successful in the business. I want to, you know, build a company, build a downline, but it doesn't happen. Why? Why do I not want $1 million? Why do I not want to be, you know, financially free? But I do. Now, why do I not? Oh, maybe I'm okay. Maybe I feel unworthy, or maybe I'm afraid of the responsibility, or maybe I'm afraid that I might leave my tribe behind, my family of origin, and they're stuck in struggle. And I'm afraid that I'm kind of like abandoning them if I make seven figures a year. And to just start to acknowledge those deeper things inside of yourself start to free you. It starts to shift the polarity. It starts to shift the conflict and bring it to conscious awareness. So if you can start with the truth, does that make sense, folks? If you can just start with the truth, what am I lying to myself about? And look at like, what is it that I want? And why do I actually not want what I say I want, which is sort of an honest confession, that can start shifting things as well. So I think that's a place to start. And so hopefully that helps. And I'd love to see how that assignment goes. And just, yeah, to start with the truth in terms of Brooke, your question, yes, the Magic of Surrender book. I think it's a book written from my soul and my heart with a lot of love. I wanted to make surrender so simple and applicable. My other book, You Are the One, is also, they're both my babies, so I don't have a favorite, but You Are the One is a bit more focused on purpose and living boldly, so they're both great. I'm actually marinating on my third book, Brooke, so we'll see. I think I got the download of what it's going to be, but I'm not sure yet, so I'm surrendering to allowing it. A couple of other ways, look, I'm always on Instagram sharing videos. That's a way to get free content. I mentioned to Brooke too, and asked her if it's okay to share this. I hope it's okay, Brooke. To just I do an event in Bali, and so if you're someone who maybe you've been inspired by something you've heard, if you're someone who you feel as though you've been put on the planet for a purpose bigger than yourself, you feel a calling in your heart, in your life, you feel, you're tired of reading the books, and you feel a readiness to really clear your conditioning, to shift your programming, to connect with your authentic self, and to peel away those layers, to connect with yourself, your voice, your power, your creativity, and share your gifts with the world. For the last 13 years, I've done a really profound, intensive process called Boundless Bliss, the Bali Breakthrough Experience. It's in Bali. Basically, I would say it is my deepest work. People love my videos, and they love my books, and they love my podcasts. But for me, that's not really my work. My work is the deep, let's say, soul surgery that I do on a multi-dimensional level. And I first started doing it one-on-one many years ago. I don't do much one-on-one now, but the real work I do is in Bali. So it's a 12-day experiential seminar training without walls, where you go to Bali with about 17, 18 people. It's a very intimate retreat. And we deep dive. I use Bali as the backdrop to facilitate a process of healing. And it's a 12-day structured, intensive process. I would say, unlike any retreat, that is really designed to unplug you from your world, unplug you from yourself. And you get to deal with the layers of conditioning step by step so that you can get free. I've done 22 of these events in the last 13 years. We've had everyone from billionaires, entrepreneurs, celebrities, people you would have heard of, salespeople, mothers, daughters, black, white, green, orange, tall. So every cross-section of humanity has come. And it's amazing. I would say there's nothing like it on the planet. So if you feel a calling, I was told when I created the event 13 years ago that there were souls that were destined to do it, and they were called to do it. And when they heard about it, they would feel something. They would feel a knowing. And so I think Brooke knows that last year was actually supposed to be my last year doing this event, but I got a calling to do it one more year. And so this July, the next event for those that might feel called, this July, the 20th through the 31st, is our next Boundless Bliss Bali event. And the website for that is boundlessblissbali.com. That's boundlessblissbali.com. Go to the website, watch the video, and apply if you feel called. And the rest, just find me online, Coot Blackson.
Thank you so much, Coot. I shared in the chat links for the books, links for the podcast,
Thank you. Thank you.
links for Boundless Bliss in Bali. And I just want you to share some love in the chat for this beautiful, sacred,
High
soulful
five,
time
high
that we
five,
got to
everyone.
spend together. This was some people's first exposure to you because I put it in this community, and we have a lot of people that are going to be watching on replay when they finish work today. But that was seriously such a gift today. And I know everyone here is just sending and radiating so much love to you.
Much love.
Thank you for your heart, for your work, and for your wisdom. It has been so well received. I can already feel the change and transformation. So I invite you to take that next step, whatever that next step is for you to take. If Bali is calling to you, I believe there's always a way. So, resistance always comes up. But my favorite question is, if I were to do it, how might I do it? So it's finding that way. But there is a next step. And so I just encourage you from this conversation to take a next step, whether that's the retreat, whether that's a podcast, whether that's a book, whether that's following Coot. But also share, take a picture if you want to right now, or hop on Instagram and share, because when I get connected to really great people that I love, I want other people to know about that person, and I want other people to be exposed and have the opportunity to learn. And so if Coot was, this was your first exposure or the first time you heard from him at Align, make sure that you're sharing with other people and that you're opening the door for other people to have the same kind of transformation that you got to experience here. Coot, I love you, my friend,
Bless
deeply,
you. Much
truly.
love. Thank you
So
so much.
grateful.
Big hugs, everyone. Much
Bye,
love.
everyone.
Bye.
Thank you so much. Thanks for tuning in to today's episode of the Align the Good Life podcast. Around here, I'm all about building community, connecting great people with incredible ideas, positive mindsets, and big dreams. And that's what Align was all about this year. We just wrapped up our annual event. This time it was in San Antonio, Texas. And if you've seen the reels, seen the pictures, read the posts, you know it was out of this world incredible. There is nothing like-minded, like-hearted people coming in the room for the purpose of growth, for the purpose of expansion, and for the purpose of alignment. Every single speaker, every single detail, and every single person in that room was there to play full out, making a commitment to their future and believing in better. So, I don't know if you heard the news, but we've already dropped the location for 2025 and we're already over half sold out 1 year before the event is even happening. So I want to encourage you today to head over to AlignEventsLive.com to grab your ticket to Align 2025. We're hosting this event in sunny Phoenix, Arizona. That's right. Plenty of sunshine, good vibes, amazing people, incredible content, and a transformation that you will never forget. We're up-leveling and taking things to an even bigger level in 2025. So mark your calendars, January 22nd through the 24th of 2025 in Phoenix, Arizona. Align is going down. And hey, one more thing while you're at it. If you love this episode, if you appreciate what you're learning here on the Align the Good Life podcast, if you could drop a rating and write a review, that would mean the world to us. And then if you want to take it a step farther to help us spread the word, go ahead and copy the link and share this episode in your stories, on your social media feed, and let's help more people to find their alignment and live their very own good life. We'll see you next time. Thanks for listening into the podcast today. If you loved it, a review, rating, and share on social would be epic and helps in spreading the word. Everything I create is in the hopes of helping you advance your life, energy, and business.